If you have a Bible with you tonight, I encourage you to turn to Psalm 136. And if you don't have a Bible, we have some Bibles that are provided there in the pews for you. If you are holding on to one of those black Bibles that's on the end of the pews, Psalm 136 starts on page 520. And as we start looking at this and as we're thinking about Thanksgiving and what it means to be thankful, I was thinking today about one of our own church members who works with preschoolers and may or may not be here tonight, who told me that what she likes to do, rather than asking the children, what are you thankful for? Because I think that is probably our standard question, maybe around our Thanksgiving tables with our families. We want to say what it is that we're thankful for, but to ask the question of who are we thankful to? Because that makes so much difference. Because we can simply say, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, but there's no such thing as genuine thankfulness unless we are giving thanks to someone, to something. And that's what we'll see in Psalm 136. This is one of the greatest places of giving thanks in the Bible. It's a part of a section of the Psalms that's called the Psalms of Ascents. It's something that was sung as the people were going up to worship together at the temple. And here's what it says. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. I'm going to pause there, and as we look, just for the sake of time tonight, I'm going to skip about every other line in this psalm. What this is, this is a song that was meant to be sung together, where maybe there was a worship leader who was saying these lines like, give thanks to the Lord, and then everyone would say it together, His steadfast love endures forever, back and forth and back and forth like that. And as they sang, they remembered the greatness of God. They remembered who it is that they were giving thanks to. I want us to look together and just notice some of these things that are in these verses. First of all, we're told to give thanks for God's majestic being and for His lordship. He is the one not only that we're called to be thankful to, but first and foremost to be thankful for. It says, the Lord is Lord. He is Yahweh. All caps, L-O-R-D. That is the name of the Lord. Give thanks to Him, for He is good. And then he says over and over in this psalm, for His steadfast love endures forever. What that steadfast love is it's that loving kindness. It's that gracious love. It's that unexplainable love that sticks, that's not conditional, that doesn't just disappear. It's that love that God has for His people. And it doesn't stop. It goes on all the way into eternity is exactly what that means. And it says it over and over. His love is poured out toward us, and He is the Lord, and He is good, and we're thankful for Him. He is God of gods. He is big G God over all of the little g gods that are not gods at all. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. No matter which ruler or authority or president or king that there may be in the world, God is Lord over them. And that is the God that we have. And He has always been God. And before He ever created anything, He was worthy. He was worthy of praise and thanksgiving and everything. So we thank God for His majestic being and His lordship. And then the next verses 4 through 9, tell us that we can thank God for His acts of creation and everything that we see around us. It says, He alone does great wonders. By His understanding, He made the heavens. He spread out the earth above the waters. He made the great lights. He made the sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule over the night. The very fact that we are here is because of God. The fact that we have a world around us to live in and air to breathe and a way for us to exist, it's because of the Lord. And every time you look out and you see the power and the majesty of creation, we are called as believers in the Lord to turn and to worship not the creation itself, but the Creator, who is so much greater, who has stretched out the heavens like a tent and put every star in its place and has done that, according to Romans 8, every bit of it, for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. His steadfast love endures forever in who He is and what He's created. And we can thank Him for His redemption, for the salvation that He gives to His people. That's in verses 10 through 20. He tells the story in this psalm of the Exodus, of God calling His people Israel out of slavery in Egypt. It says, "To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the wilderness. To Him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites and Og king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage for Israel, to Israel His servant." You see, this is the kind of God that we have. Is a God who not only is great and not only creates well, but a God who has pursued His people in this lost world. And He reached down in that instance and decided, "This is My people, and I will save them. I will rescue them out of slavery." And every one of His acts in that exodus from Egypt is something where we can turn and we can see the character of God, that He is a God who saves, who pulls His people out of slavery and takes them from that slave state all the way to a point of having their own promised land, driving out all of the obstacles, overcoming every barrier, and by His grace and by His power, delivering and saving. We learn in the New Testament that the whole reason why God did that, the whole reason for the Exodus and all of His saving acts in between, was to point forward to the great act of salvation in Jesus Christ Himself. That Jesus is our Passover Lamb who was slain. Just like there was a Passover Lamb that was slain before the people came out of Egypt, Jesus is the one who was killed for our sins and made it possible for us to be lifted out of the slavery of our old selves and our sin. And He has rescued us, not by our work, not by our power. Just as Israel could never say it was by our power that the Red Sea was parted and we escaped from Pharaoh's army, we look at our eternity that is secured at the cross because Jesus has died for us and has risen from the dead. And we can say it is by the power of God alone that we are brought through that trial and tribulation, that we are rescued from ourselves and our sin and this whole world, and given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, complete and secure. That's the kind of God He is. He is a God who saves and redeems. And then we see, starting in verse 23, that He is a God that we can thank for His personal blessings, not just in an abstract sense that He has saved someone somewhere, that He is a God who saves, but that He saves us who trust in Him. Verse 23, "It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever." We should thank God personally. I should go to God based on these verses and say, "God, I was in a low estate. I was lost and dying in my sin, and Christ came and sought me out and rescued me when I believed." We can praise God for that. We can think back not only on the entire history of how God has saved, but on the history of our own lives. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you can look back at where you were before, and you can see how He brought you to faith in Christ, and you can praise God for that, and you can praise Him for what He has brought you through, and praise Him for what He will bring you to in eternity future. Now, some who are here tonight, you may not be in that position yet. Well, where you are there is verse 25. "He who gives food to all flesh, for His steadfast love endures forever." You may not know it tonight, but every single thing that you have Every meal you have ever eaten in your life was a gift from God. The heat that we're enjoying in this building tonight is a gift from God. The homes that we have, the roofs over our head, the fact that God gives rain so that our plants grow, all of those things are from God, and it's called His common grace that He pours out on every human being. We all have it so much better than we deserve, and it is from someone who is personal and who shows grace and love in those things. And His name is the Lord. And He is not only a God who gives those things, but He is a God who has made a provision for you to be saved and has made a path for you to be forgiven of your sins and to not only enjoy some blessings in the physical sense here and now from God, but to enjoy eternal blessings forever. And if you will turn your life to Christ and say, I don't want my sin anymore, I want Jesus Christ, and believe in what He has done for you in the cross and in the resurrection, that He has died for you and He is alive, He will give you eternal life. And He will give you more than just food to sustain you today. He will give you the bread of life forever and ever. And he finishes this psalm by saying this, verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. And so just like he started out, we are called from start to finish to give thanks for God Himself, the God of heaven, that He is majestic, He is holy, and He is Lord, and He has given Himself to us through Jesus Christ and in the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want us at this time, this was in our bulletin for earlier, but I'd like us to go ahead and do this together because I skipped it by accident. If you would take out your hymnal and look at number 177. This is a responsive reading. I will read the print that is in light print, and we'll all read the bold print together. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt also the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let's pray. God, we thank You today that You are God. We thank You that You have been God and have been worthy of our praise since before we or anything else beside You ever existed. God, we thank You that You have created us. We thank You that You have demonstrated Your saving nature all the way from the very first time that human beings sinned and You promised to send someone who would whose heel would be crushed, but who would crush the head of Satan, who is Jesus Christ. God, we thank You for saving us personally, who trust in Jesus Christ, for giving us new life and eternal life. And God, we thank You for who You are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray that this Thanksgiving, that You would lift up our hearts to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.